Psalm 71, verses 1 to 9. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. You have given commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the grasp of the wrongdoer and ruthless man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my confidence from my youth. By you I have been sustained from my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have become a marvel to many, for you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. And then looking to Psalm 91. Again, the first 9 verses, actually we'll make it the first 10 verses here. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. And then just the opening 2 verses of Psalm 57. Psalm 57. Be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until destruction passes by. I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. Verse 3 as well. He will send from heaven and save me. He reproaches him who tramples upon me. God will send forth his loving kindness and his truth. And my friends, I've come with a very simple burden on my heart to bring to you, and we'll refer to these 3 psalms in particular and possibly other scriptures as well. And the thing I want to bring to you, for many of you, it will be a reminder of something that you and I ought to know, but increasingly I think we need to be reminded and to know this in our own experience. And the subject, therefore, is making God our refuge. Making God our refuge. It's there in particular in verse 1 of that last psalm, where it says in the New American Standard, which I read out, in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge. The Authorized puts it like this: yes, in the shadow of your wings will I make my refuge. Now, of course, we know, don't we? We sing it, we read it, that God is a refuge. But what I don't think we realise sometimes is that the word for trust, when it talks about trusting God in the Old Testament, there are 2 words or 2 meanings to this matter of trust. So perhaps I can ask you, I mean, if I was to put you on the spot and say, what do you think it means practically to trust God? What would you say? Don't answer, please. But if I was to ask you, perhaps, you know, think about it. Well, at least let me help you to get some answer to it, to get some clarity by telling you that one of those two words for trust means literally that. It means to flee for refuge. So making God your refuge is an absolutely critical thing that we know how to do it and that we do it on a regular basis. It's fundamental to our relationship to the Lord that we trust him. If you look at the introduction to this psalm, to give you a background to why the psalm was written, it says for the choir director, set to a particular word, which I'm not going to try and read, a michtam of David when he fled from Saul. So here is David in exactly that situation where he's having to flee from someone who is out to destroy him. And for that particular time, which you'll find in 1 Samuel 22, he finds refuge in that cave. But friends, the psalm tells us far more than just finding refuge temporarily, and it was only going to be fairly temporarily, in that cave. He actually was making his refuge in the Lord. It was the Lord to whom he was fleeing. Now, I don't know whether any of you, or how many of you, are in a situation now where you're running from something, where you're fleeing from something. Just notice the background to verse 1, because it actually has a wider application, of course, than just Saul pursuing David. It says, yes, in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Or the version I read out, it says, until destruction passes by, until danger passes by, one other translation puts it. Friends, I don't know whether you're fleeing from something, but I can tell you something. Increasingly, we're going to be facing, either personally or nationally, times of calamity, times of danger, times of potential destruction. What are you going to do in those times? Do you see how vital it is that we know how to make the Lord our refuge at those times? What might you be fleeing from? What should you be fleeing from? Well, for David, it was embodied in this man, Saul. Saul is a type of, or a picture of, our old unregenerate nature, the flesh. The flesh that always wants to be top dog and doesn't want the Lord Jesus instead to be enthroned as king of our lives. And the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit lusts against the flesh, the scripture tells us. And so we do need to flee from that old nature. It's something we need to learn to do. So, for example, in the New Testament, can I remind you that Paul to Timothy, who was a young-ish man, Paul said to him on two occasions, flee from certain things. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11 reads as this, but flee these things, O man of God. And I'll leave you to look at the context of it. And instead, pursue. Now, friends, I think actually we're far too British about this, if you understand me. We take things in our stride. Nothing throws us. We're just totally relaxed and totally chilled. Actually, we need to see sometimes the danger that we are in, particularly when temptation comes, and we need to learn to flee. Don't think that you can manage it. Yes, there are times we need to resist it. There are times when the scripture says we need to resist the enemy. But there are times, and there are certain situations, when the right course of action is to get out of it, is run. Isn't that what happened with Joseph, for example? And he was in this work situation with Potiphar and his wife, do you remember? Because Potiphar was a eunuch, and the wife looked at Joseph, I beg your pardon, and saw the opportunity to make up for her husband's lack, and he kept saying no, as he should do, and he kept saying no. There was a right resisting of those things. And friends, we need to learn to resist before I pursue this any further. Can I just underline again? If temptation comes, we need to learn to say no to it. Don't just tolerate it. We need to learn to take action where action is needed. Turning off the television, closing the book, walking away from certain situations, whatever it may happen to be. Flee these things. But there are times when we do have literally to flee. And eventually there came that time when she got hold of his cloak and took it away from him. And he fled naked. And the enemy is always out to take away our covering in Christ. And if he ever lays hold of that, the best course of action is to flee. The scripture says, flee from idolatry. I said there were two occasions. Let me give you the second in Timothy. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, etc. we're to flee from idolatry and to flee fornication. So there are situations when we need to learn to flee. But friends, it's one thing to flee. It's another thing then to learn to make the Lord your refuge. And as I say, I don't know what situations we may have to face. Maybe physically, naturally, we need to alter our circumstances. We need to get out of certain things. Certainly we need to have the mental and spiritual strength from God to say no to things. But then we need to run to the Lord. We need to make the Lord our refuge. And that is where I suggest I'm not quite sure that we know how to do that or that we do it. Will you notice in this Psalm 57 and verse 1, it says, for my soul trusts in you. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. That word for trust is exactly the word that we're looking at. It's to do with fleeing for refuge. As opposed to the other meaning of the word trust, which is more to do with leaning on or depending on, confiding in. But David is saying, be merciful to me, O God. My soul flees to you. Yes, in the shadow of your wings will I make my refuge. There's a personal aspect to this. Friends, we need to learn to make the Lord our refuge personally. There is a Psalm 46 which says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Thank God there's a corporate sense in this, and that particular psalm, which is so prophetic of the days and the run-up to the return of the Lord Jesus, speaks about trouble and the kind of upheaval that there's going to be in the world at large. Thank God he is our refuge, and even in trouble he is present with us in it. But friends, in that trouble there is a place where we need to find with the Lord, where that refuge becomes our experience personally. So how are we to make the Lord our refuge? Here are some practical things as I was musing on this during the week. Number one, we've covered it, I won't repeat it. Flee. Run to the Lord. Run from and run to. Secondly, verse 2 it says in Psalm 57. Cry to the Lord. I will cry unto God Most High. Lift your voice. And if you can't immediately do it because of the circumstances you're in, find a place where as soon as you can do that. Sometimes we have to cry to the Lord under our breath. Lord, help. I will cry to the Lord. Cry to the Lord Most High. Recognize that you're crying to the God who is able to perform all things for you, to work out everything for you, to fulfill his purposes for you, to accomplish everything for you, as it says in the New American Standard. I will cry to the Lord Most High. Thirdly, Psalm 61, just a few psalms a bit further on, and verses 7 and 8. No. I beg your pardon, I don't mean that. I mean Psalm 62 and verses 7 and 8. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is where? In God. Friends, we need to recognise from this that the place of safety, the place where the Lord is our salvation and our glory, is in Him. Thank God, as Christians, the definition of a Christian is somebody who's been put in Christ. We need to remain in Christ. We need to continue in Christ. And that is the place of safety. And if you are in Christ, it doesn't matter what trouble is round you, it doesn't matter what attacks the enemy may make upon your life, you are secure. God is able to protect, God is able to keep you. But see where you need to be. And of course, what the enemy tries to do is to get you out of that place of safety. Remain in God. Remain in His Son by faith. And then it goes on. From that position, it says, trust in Him at all times. Now, here's the dependence. Trust in Him at all times. You people, pour out your heart before Him. That sort of links in with the crying to God. It's from that place of knowing how dependable He is that we can then pour out our heart to Him. God is a refuge for us. Are you able to say that? God is a refuge. And so I believe the Lord wants to remind you, remind us all this morning, that He is that refuge for us. He is that present help in trouble. Therefore, the scripture says, we will not fear. Now, the earth may not be moved, but your life may be in a bit of an upheaval. Circumstances around you may be in a bit of an upheaval. But the scripture says, therefore, we will not fear. And that involves an exercise of the will. All right? The scripture says, do not fear. Fear is something that certainly, in part anyway, we can control. There is such a thing as a spirit of fear, and we can get overwhelmed by that, and sometimes the enemy is involved. I appreciate that. But the scripture says 366 times, do not fear. And if the Lord says do not fear for every day of the year plus a leap year, which is what 2016 is going to be, He gives that command in with the full grace for us to be able to say, I will not fear. And He says we will not fear. Why? Because He is a refuge for us. So God is a refuge for us. So that's the next thing we need to do. Keep in the Lord. And then really we need, fourthly, to make the Lord our refuge. Now, I read from the New American Standard initially, but I'm going to take it from the Authorized Version, because it says, it underlines the truth of this. Then, yes, in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge. Friends, there's again the determination of the will here. Just as you heard David say, therefore we will not fear, this scripture says, I will make Him my refuge. You have to engage your will. Okay? This is not something that is going to come automatically. This is not going to come as a sort of mystical feeling. This is not going to happen when circumstances change. It's going to happen as you purpose in your heart. That little phrase you find in the prophecy of Daniel. Daniel purposed in his heart. And really, this is what David is saying. He's saying, I will make the Lord my refuge. And you have to decide to do that. Now, friends, what are you going to make your refuge? Who are you going to make your refuge if it's not the Lord? Where are you going to run to? Where are you going to flee to? What other security can you have? Well, the kind of calamities that we've been looking at in Luke 21, in the run-up to the return of the Lord, who else can be your refuge other than the Lord? Nobody else can. Nothing else will satisfy. Everything else is going to be like will prove to be like a house that is built on sand. The Lord is the rock of our refuge. He alone is that solid place on which we can build our lives. So you need to engage your will with this. And therefore, by faith, well, let me read you another psalm. Don't turn to it, but Psalm 73, verse 28, says this. The end of the psalm. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord. And so, friends, having sort of purposed in your heart, you then need to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Lord, I'm going to trust you in this calamity. I'm going to depend upon you. I'm going to run to you, and I'm going to stay close to you by faith in the Lord Jesus. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. And Psalm 40, again, don't turn to it, but I'm just going to bring it to you. Psalm 40 in verse 4 underlines this, says, blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust. Don't be distracted. Would you like just to get hold of it, John, please, and just keep it under your chair? Oh, that's lovely, thank you. There was a school not too far from here which had one of those things on the ceiling with Happy Christmas, Headmaster, written all over it. And it came down in the middle of the carol service. I'm glad that didn't have any kind of message, but it's easy to get distracted. Psalm 40 in verse 4, just in case you were. Blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust. Again, friends, do you see, we need to make the Lord our trust. And then, again, from Psalm 57, going back there, please. The next thing we need to do to make God our refuge. Verse 1, hide in the shadow of the Lord's wings, it says there. In the shadow of your wings. This is a tremendous little phrase. It comes in Psalm 91, which we read. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain under the shadow of the Almighty. It is thought that this Psalm 91 is speaking about the place where the Lord would meet with his people between the cherubim. And as the cherubim, the wings of the cherubim were stretched out on the Ark of the Covenant, there, in the shadow of those wings, the Lord says, I will meet with you. Friends, there is a place where the Lord says, I will meet with you. There is a place, however great the trouble and however catastrophic the danger may be, there is a place where the Lord says, I will meet with you. More than that, he says, I will hide you there and I will protect you there. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, shall remain under the shadow of the Almighty. Friends, when we find that place with the Lord, we can say, verse 2, we can declare, the Lord is my fortress and my refuge, in him will I trust. And that word for trust is the sense of running to, fleeing to the Lord for refuge. Now, friends, I don't know whether you can say that the Lord is your refuge like that, but you can have that kind of testimony as David did. You can know the Lord's delivering of you. Verse 3, surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. These are different sort of ways in which the enemy seeks to trap us. The noisome pestilence, the second part of verse 3, is perhaps more to do with the calamities that come. And the things that deafen us. And overwhelm us. But there is a snare as well of the fowler. There is a snare that the enemy can lay for us, and we can easily be caught out by that. But the Lord says, surely he will deliver you. And even when we're caught in that snare, as sometimes we may be, the Lord knows how to get us out of it. Thank God. And we have to wait on him for his salvation and his deliverance. You don't get out of a snare by wriggling and struggling. You have to wait until somebody sets you free. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall trust. Make the Lord your dwelling place like that. Hide under the shadow of his wings. Psalm 61 and verse 4 reads like this. I will abide in your tabernacle. I will make my refuge, or I will trust in the covert of your wings. Psalm 36 and verse 7. How excellent is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Friends, do you see that the Lord is wanting to draw you to himself and to keep you in that secret and safe place? Now, are you there? Have you found that place? In experience. That's the question I'm asking, really. And then, how else can we make the Lord our refuge? Well, I'm going to take very similar words. In verse 9, it says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. And again, do you see? The Lord says to us, for example, in John 15, you are the vine and I am the branches. But we need to learn to abide. He says, abide in me, continue in me. How do we do that? We make him our dwelling place. We know that he is our dwelling place. We know that he's with us. But we have to lay hold of him and say, Lord, I'm going to make you my refuge. I'm going to make you my dwelling place. And friends, we need to, there are practical outworkings of that. Obviously, drawing near to the Lord, getting into his word, seeking him in prayer. But faith comes in and says, Lord, I'm going to make you my refuge. I'm going to make you my habitation. And as we do that, the Lord then says, there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. Of course, we can't do that if there's unconfessed sin in our lives. That should go without saying. If we've come out from that place of protection, the first thing we need to do is to get it right with the Lord. That's really the thinking behind the six cities that were set apart in Israel for three on one side of the Jordan, three on the other. There were six cities that were set apart as places of refuge. So that anybody who was pursued by somebody who was out to kill them, and never mind the detail of why that should be, it's spelled out for us in Numbers 35. But if you were in a place of danger, you had to run to those cities of refuge, as they were called. And when you got to those cities, the gate of the city, you had to declare your cause. You had to say to the elders of the city, I want refuge. I want asylum. That's what the word means. I want to come to a place of safety. And they would say, why? And you would have to declare your reasoning. Put it in spiritual terms. You go to the Lord, who is your refuge, and you say, Lord, I'm in danger. And the reason is because I have sinned, because I have done something. I've come out for that place of covering. And you need to declare your cause. And the Lord will give you forgiveness of sin and he will give you repentance. And as you do those things and as you receive his forgiveness, then, as it were, the gates of the city are open and you're back in that place of refuge again. There were six cities set aside, three on one side of the Jordan, three on the other, as I've said, and their names, I think, are significant because they speak of the Lord. They speak of that place of hiding. They speak of that place of protection. They speak of that place of safety where if you were in one of those cities, it doesn't matter who was after you or why, you could guarantee to be safe. Friends, there's tremendous truth in this. Make God your habitation, it says there in verse 9. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall there any plague come near your dwelling. And then let's go to Psalm 71, which was the other psalm that we read. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. In you, O Lord, do I flee for refuge. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. And then we have these remarkable words. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Or your version may have, be to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. Friends, it's saying the same thing. You make God your refuge by continually coming to him as your rock. Now, he is your rock, isn't he? One person nods their heads. But you need to go on coming to him. And friends, quite honestly, whether the calamities are there or not, say to him at the start of a new day, Lord, I'm coming to you today as my rock. I want to be. And when it says, whereunto I may continually resort, it literally means into which I may enter. Now, you're in the Lord, but you need to make that your experience. Lord, I'm in you, but Lord, I want that to be my experience for today. So I'm coming to you today, and I want to be in you today, and I want to make you my rock today. There may be no calamities yet, but the Lord knows what you're going to face today. But remember where he has put you, and stand in that place by faith. And Psalm 71, there's no particular calamity that we read of here. If you read the psalm, it's actually in the context of old age. Well, that's got its own calamities, so no problems. But I don't know what David was thinking of, the arthritis or the rheumatism or the whatever it was. I really don't know. But every day he says, to be my strong habitation to which I may continually resort. And then there is the most remarkable statement. If I'd been writing this psalm, I would have said this. You can give me commandment to save me. Or I might have said, you will give commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Does it say that? No, it says, you have given commandment. Friends, I think this is remarkable. David is recognizing that because he is who he is in the Lord, that the commandment to save him has already gone forth. Friends, this is marvellous, isn't it? Now, the Lord has already given commandment to save you in his Son. You just need to believe it. You just need to lay hold of it. That is why David could say, Lord, I'm coming to you today in the full confidence and full conviction that you have already given commandment to save me. Hallelujah. For you are my rock and my fortress. Now, friends, this matter of making the Lord your refuge, I want to suggest to you, is so vital that we do it. You cannot learn to do this when the calamities come. You have to learn to do it when they're not coming. You have to learn to do it. It must be part of your life that you come to the Lord, that you find that secret place, you find that hiding place, you find that place of abiding in him, in whatever situation you are in. Whether it's at school, whether it's at home doing school. That can be a bit lonely, I appreciate. The Lord is there. Find him in it. Whether it's in the workplace, or whether it's in some real danger, the Lord can be your refuge. Goes on to say in verse 5, you see, David had proved the Lord like this all his life. As I said, it's a psalm of old age, but it says, for you are my hope, O Lord God. You have been my trust, or you are my trust from my youth. Do you get that? He had learned that the Lord was his trust, the Lord was his dependence, right from youth. He knew that the Lord had held him up, verse 6, from his mother's womb. And little wonder that he says, I'm as a wonder to many. He may have been in situations where people were absolutely amazed at him and criticizing, etc. But he says, but you are my strong refuge. Well, friends, You know these things, I'm sure you do. But I trust that there's been something from the Word of God and from the Lord by His Spirit that has written this more indelibly upon your heart. So that in whatever calamities we may face, we may know that the Lord is our refuge and make Him our refuge. And then the Lord can send from heaven, it says He will send from heaven and save me. God will send forth His loving kindness and His truth. Shall we pray, please?